Why don't you go ahead and you can just say all the orders.
Oh,
you get to.
I get to do that. Okay. This is the Communications and Technology Committee meeting, January 9th, 2020, at 8:30 a.m. I call the meeting to order.
Sounds good. And this is a reminder, and I'll remind John when he comes here. We got last meeting a little bit off topic on discussions like the traffic patterns related to development and all that, and that really extended the meeting. And we just shouldn't even be discussing items like that that really aren't relevant to the committee itself as part of the meeting. Those can be had after the meeting, you know, outside the room in the future. So I just want to make sure that we stay focused at these meetings on the topics that we have. Yeah, it went a little bit long and off course last time. So let's see. First, you can go ahead and step through the agenda.
Okay. Comments from the public?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'd like to admit, I've noticed that the audio recordings of the board meetings are now have been posted. They were missing for about 6 months. I'd just like to say I appreciate that. I understand you've been short-handed, so that's the explanation. I understand that. When you get full-handed, it'd be nice if those were posted within a few days of the meeting. That's the way they used to be. And I think for people that don't come to the meetings, for instance, it would be all good for that. And I also noticed that there's a few that are missing, like their special meetings or whatever. The August 21 board meeting says audio not available.
The audio is not available.
Yes. I do have a recording of that if you're interested. If you're not, fine. But
yeah, if you do,
that
would be fine.
Yeah, email it to Amelia. I'll listen to it, make sure there's no extraneous stuff on there.
Yeah. That'd be great. Because typically, if you see that there's no audio available, there was either a technical glitch where for some reason we thought the recorder was going and it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't see that.
That's about the only reason that we wouldn't have audio from the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if the file's too big, then maybe you can put it on your thumb drive.
Yeah.
Because those audio files take up a lot of space for emailing.
Yeah, I have a way and send it with Firefox. They allow you to update it, upload it to someplace encrypted, and then
okay. That would be great.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to give you feedback is on this pamphlet from Calways.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've all seen it, probably.
Yep. Yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice to get these. We get it every year, and it's really helpful. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of failure to communicate here. My experience is every year it's a little bit different. There's things that are new. There's things that changed, but they don't tell us what's different.
Okay.
You have to go down through, compare it to last year's to see what's different. This year I noticed one thing that I really like. Under green waste it says tree limbs less than 6 inches in diameter. Now I don't have the last year's, I misplaced it. I think last year was something like 2 inches, which, hey, I like that. I mean, especially this last year, I put a lot in the trash because it was like 3 or 4 inches. But they don't tell us what's changed. You have to go down line by line, and I don't know what else isn't changed.
We can ask them to provide a summary.
Yeah, put in the pipeline that, hey, you've got these, and this is what's changed.
Well, we're going to ask them to provide a summary to us.
Yeah.
We're not having, you know, they probably know right off the top.
They could put a little star next to it or, you know, something like that.
That's good feedback, and we'll provide that.
I can understand the position there, and they give this to somebody, and they come up with a sheet, and they send it out, and nobody's really in charge of whatever. But I guess you're dealing with Cal Waste. I'm always in a continuous state of confusion on what to recycle, what not to. You know, I read these things pretty closely. And
It's because the state of California is in a state of confusion on it also. Just be aware that they keep changing the requirements.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's another factor, which is the dynamics of just the world economics of what processes what. You've probably heard that in some of these meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Like even chipboard cereal chipboard boxes now are very costly to recycle at this point.
Okay. Yeah.
So There's a lot. This is
wrapping paper
just in the
with
2 years
foil.
I've been here, just the dynamics have mm-hmm. changed a lot. So, but we can, you know, it's good that we can convey where there are changes if yeah. we're aware yeah. of. You know.
At this stage, I'm pretty much in a continuous state of confusion. I don't know what
it's going to, even right now, the state is looking to mandate the actual color of recycling bins to a single okay. conformity.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what I've noticed, and I had this discussion with RMA's GM yesterday, because of that, you notice that most waste management companies are very hesitant to restock any of their recycling okay. bins yeah. and get new ones right now. Yeah. Because if the color is not the appropriate state-sponsored color, they may
have
a whole bunch
one.
Of mm-hmm. bins to replace. So okay. I've noticed that hesitancy. You know, blue was the color at one point, then it was green
Mine's
at one
green.
Point. It's exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking to settle. So a lot of what you see happening, this dynamic environment with waste okay. and recycling, has to do with state regulations and changes that are constantly being made.
And the economic environment.
And the economics behind all of it, yeah.
We're still talking, or in the talking phases, I think, about doing a program with CSD for the community. Are we not?
What program are you?
That education program that they do. For.
Correct. Like an outreach.
The school program has started, or maybe finished by now, mm-hmm. but the. Yeah. Thought was to go ahead and work with RMA probably and see if we can't get them to come and do that program for the community.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be great for me as far as I'm concerned. That we could start something that could maybe go on, you know, a couple times a year and then see what happens. But this is an RMA thing, but RMA needs to work with CSD about getting better recycling within yeah. the community.
We had that discussion
yeah.
yesterday.
Okay, and, good, great.
And the first step is to get a dumpster for RMA, which I wasn't aware they didn't have.
I know, it wasn't either.
The other thing is to get a count of how many bins RMA would like mm-hmm. at different locations, mm-hmm. like Lake Clementia, like around Laguna Joaquin, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I've already had the discussion with Cal Waste. They just wanted to know a count and how many, what size, what are you looking for.
So they're right perfectly willing to do it. Huh?
But I am following up with Cal Waste on the dumpster at least, so that at least they have the dumpster over
Fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. So, Thank yeah. you.
And one other comment. I don't mean to take up too much of your time. I'd like to give you a little feedback on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there before, maybe a year or so ago, and this is the first time I've been there for quite a while. And there's one thing I wasn't very happy about. There's one item on there. It was under a picture of Laguna Joaquin. It says, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District added a button to help you, ... button. And the button said, learn more. Well, I took the bait and I pressed the button. Does anybody know what I got?
I have no idea what that even is.
I don't either.
I added the button. I thought I added the button to go back to...
What is that?
Go ahead, what did we get? I'm sorry.
Sign up for e-billing.
Oh, I added the button to sign up for e-billing. Because I was instructed to...
So, let's talk about what's the...
Okay. That's what they call clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very misleading thing. Is that mm-hmm. what it said was Rancho RMCSD added a button to help you, ... If I had known what it was, I wouldn't click the button.
I think what it was is probably was like an embedded link that was within that text, and the minute there's an embedded link, it puts it behind a ... It's how... Yeah. That's likely, I think that's just part of like their automatic function that
yeah,
if you have an external
Facebook,
link
yeah.
that they instantly put it behind a ... And
yeah.
so I don't think that was purposeful on our part.
Yeah,
so
okay.
what we need to do then is if we have an external link, this is what I believe
right.
we have to do is say we would like you to do this and then we'll have a separate link below
right.
that
yeah.
that allows you to click through to that function. So I'm sure it's an automated feature.
Yeah,
that's
why
just how it operates.
Suspected
yeah.
or hoped it was.
Yeah. We, you know, and our intent is yeah. just to put links right where there's a discussion topic just to make it even easier for the public to just say, oh, that's the topic. Boom. Mm-hmm. Looks like a link. I'm going to click through. But that wasn't a purposeful decision by any stretch.
Here's the...
Thank you.
So, did you take the bait?
I took the bait.
Did you sign up for e-billing?
No, but I uttered a couple of words. Hey, after you bleep out the obscenities, there's only one word left.
Yeah.
But seriously, that's what they call clickbait.
Yeah.
Very irritating.
Yeah, there was no, there. Yeah, that wasn't purposeful. That was just that the way we were trying to be helpful, and then Facebook changed it into something else. Doesn't surprise. So, good morning.
Good morning.
We're in comments from the public.
Just sitting there reading
just
the paper.
We started with a reminder. Last time we got a little bit off topic during the meeting on kind of development topics and other things.
Right.
And just a reminder, let's try to stay focused on the agendas. And if we want to have those, we can have those after the meetings. So
okay.
Out of the room.
There is a development information thing on here, I think I recall seeing, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. We have comments from the public.
Yep, we're still in comments for the public.
Oh, okay.
Nine.
Wow.
So we can move into...
You were pretty active today, huh?
I was waiting for you.
Yeah, good. Thanks for stalling this out for me. Okay. Item 3, website, Facebook statistics.
So we, the request had been to see what statistics were out there. So we spent some time, for some reason our link and the emails we were getting had stopped. So we figured all that out, started getting notices again, but then they were coming out a little funky. So just went into the system and played with the system and learned a little bit more about how Facebook's the website analytics work. Those are Google Analytics that we use to analyze what our website stats are. And let me just bring it up here. I want to take a look at what's been. Are they in the package? This hard copy.
No,
packet?
But they're on the one that you sent.
Oh yeah. So what we provided here was for the website, and so you see highlights and all that. There is. There's December's stats.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give an overview and then I'm going to go back through it in more detail. So you have December stats, and you'll see highlighted to the right, this is December 1st through 2019 to December 31st. And if you ever see, you see website stats as the heading, and also analytics, that's Google Analytics, that's just our website, it's not Facebook. So that's for the month, and I'll come back to that and go through that in a little bit more detail. Then the next item that we have is for the entire year stats. And then following that was the entire, and those stats, so the first, there's two segments of information related to the annual stats. The first one is the pages, and what that does is that shows you what the greatest hits were amongst specific web pages within the CSD website links or pages. And then the next one was the website visitors, just to kind of show you where they come from, and the number of users, and the variability of users at different times. Yeah, Norway. We're trying to increase that
our presence in Norway.
Cohort.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the packet there, specific to this item, is our Facebook stats. We're still working with that. It's just something they throw at us from time to time. I'm not sure if there's a dashboard we can go into and manipulate more, or if there's a cost to getting our data more drilled down in Facebook. The Google Analytics is definitely much more powerful than what Facebook offers. And again, a lot of this stuff it's going to take some time for us to really see patterns and that sort of thing. But what I found, and I've been watching website analytics since the 1990s. And so I'm very familiar with how they collect data and where to focus. A lot of times it's your web pages. And the ones that rise to the top, those are the things that where you really want to focus to make sure you're doing good outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's employment, if it's board meeting minutes, that sort of thing. Do understand that a lot of hits to board meeting, district code, other
websites are
looking at that.
Not some of it, and perhaps a significant portion of that could be staff here because we use our own website as a tool on a regular basis.
As an example, I'm probably a heavy user. I'm looking for documents usually when I'm on it.
So I know there's certain times when I see something as far as the ranking of directories or of the web pages that are hit that I know that is majority staff because we've been working in that area a lot and people are looking, you know, fixing it or maybe even if we're revising the look of that particular web page, we're going to be spending a lot of time doing hits on that. But if you look for the month, employment opportunities was at the top. We had a bunch of different positions open during that period.
Right.
You see Deer Creek, Scott Road Crossing Stream Gauge was another, how to pay my bill, district office and phone numbers, and then board meetings, salary schedules and such. So that's the rank order right there. So we do keep an eye on that, and so that helps us inform where the greatest
that's
demand
good.
Is.
Yeah.
And we do try to, as I mentioned, adjust our outreach to reflect that.
Well, the Deer Creek Gauge used to be primarily RancherMuriel.com.
Right.
I mean, it's why that's going up.
And there's an issue.
I mean, I've used it for.
I insisted that was on because I knew everybody would be coming to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they had.
I need it.
They had a way. They had a way too. In the end, very much towards the end, before they shut it down, of actually notifying you when the creek was flooded, which would be if we could do that. That would be dynamite.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, you don't have to run out and do that tomorrow, but...
Is it flooding right now?
No.
Not yet.
We haven't had anything. Well, we had one day.
What I'm thinking is during the wet season, we may want to move that more to one of our front page tiles, too. Right now, it's a little bit buried.
It's kind of buried. Okay.
Yeah, under the bottom of customer service.
And the employment opportunities are ones that skew it to some degree in terms of district use because you're getting a lot of outside entities that are probably, if they're looking for jobs, they're surfing through there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's fine, but it's why it is a high number. It's not people living here that are hitting it for that. It's everybody else.
So that is the perfect example of seeing that in the count of how many hits certain pages are receiving. Wow, I didn't... You know, there's that gauge. Where does that sit? Is it in an obvious place that people can find it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at our menu, it's right at the bottom of our customer service. So that's where we can do better and adjust where it sits at on a tile on the front page, or maybe even move it up that list during the wet season.
You may be able to even get that onto some tile. That one probably on the front page.
I'll put it on the tile on the front page.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people are going there specifically for that and nothing else. And when they're doing it, they're probably doing it at 7:30 in the morning because they're getting ready to leave and want to know if the road's closed. So.
So that's it. On Facebook is somewhat variable. Oh, is there a question?
There was, but it's just left my brain.
That happens now.
Oh, well.
A lot.
And it happens at all ages. All people, all ages. That's
don't go in the garage.
I know what it was. If we could put
in
the pipeline, if we could just put a little blurb that says looking for. I know what it was. Looking for information on flooding or however you want to say it, Scott Road conditions. Go to the CSD website.
And I had the link in the pipeline last month, but I'll add it again. I'll just put a little because it sounds like it's super important.
And this time
good,
of the year,
and
it is.
it's good to refer people back to our website too. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, it's on the front page of our website. Mm-hmm. Just go to rncsd.com.
And right. How do we update that? Where do we get that information from?
The Scott Creek.
Scott.
It's automated from the county.
Yeah,
it is.
The Deer Creek Gauge.
Deer Creek Gauge. Yeah.
Did I call it? What is it?
Scott Creek, because it's on Scott Road.
It's actually, if you look it for Scott Road, if you look for it on Scott Road, you probably won't find it. I think it's listed under the Deer Creek indicator.
The Department of Water Resources gauging stations, and it's listed as Deer Creek.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And there's a link on the website.
And so that should be fairly up to date.
And it does sometimes change. Sometimes they'll revamp their website, and then all of a sudden that link's not good, and then you got to find it again.
And that's something that, that Amelia has, you know, come to me independently and said, you know, one of the tasks I'd like to do is go through the website, just make sure all the links are working. And
good job.
Appropriate, yeah. That. Yeah, which is always a good practice. Mm-hmm. So, I can tell you practically every governmental entity is guilty of having a lot of broken links that... But that's also a word to the wise about maintaining a website to not go overboard at trying to provide too much information, because then that becomes a whole management resource issue in and of itself, trying to keep up with everything that's out there.
Fortunately, this is
still little.
It's it's specific to, you know, winter weather conditions. Yeah. We don't have a problem usually in the summer with anything.
So you're 6653. That's
take a look at that.
Is that the very top number on your page views?
That's the total number.
Is that that's for what period? Is that an annual? What is that?
This one right here on the top. This is from
all users.
Here you go, December 1st.
All right,
so that's
a monthly
year.
Usage. Okay.
Oh wait, December 1st. Oh yeah, that's just for the month.
Right. Okay.
That's
That's for the month, and that's page views.
Yeah.
And then you see unique page views and average time on the page and such. And all of that is instructive to some extent. But the unique page views is, you know, so what that shows you is if you were to divide 4965 into 6653, that's, so a page may have been looked at multiple times, I guess. So that's, I think that's what it tells us, that that's people who have independently looked at that particular page at least once.
Yeah.
That's why it's a lower number than the overall number of page views, because they may have looked at the same page twice.
I was just curious that...
But if you do have a question about a stat and you want more detail on it, the Google Analytics is really good. Is within the tool itself, that gives you, you can click on a little question mark and it'll give you more details as to what the purpose of that particular measure is. Sometimes it's not as detailed, but you still have more questions after that, and then you just Google on that and you can probably find out what the real purpose is behind it.
Okay.
On these monthly stats, I see all these ups and downs. I assume all the downs are on weekends.
It seems like a fairly regular pattern. I haven't really analyzed it. I don't think we've
Well, there's two spikes in there, for example. One I'm betting, and I don't know this for certain, but I'm betting one is you've got, like, on the annual views where it shows the spike in July. That's 4th of July information.
And that probably was Fast Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you see another one around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Those are... And everything else seems to be, I mean, they're not, they're always going to go up and down. They seem to be fairly consistent.
And sometimes there may not be any rhyme or reason. Sometimes there's really obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised at the low amount of hits during the manganese issue. And because we were really hitting it hard, reaching out there.
Yeah.
We're on TV. I mean, there was a lot of outreach that was done as part of that. But you saw that people still, at that point.
Were calling in. Probably.
We're either calling in or discussing things on social media not related to the district. So that's why we made a big push following that to really remind people, if you have concerns, contact us directly. Please communicate with us.
Okay.
All right. So we plan to bring this monthly, stats monthly, to the committee here, and then an annual summary, just like we did. We're in January. We're looking back at last year, at 2019, in the January committee.
Okay. Any more on the website or statistics?
No more than that.
Okay. Quarterly update, outreach, technology.
And those are the spreadsheets.
So we have, we just provided the field operations one, so we did not update that. Really, you know, there's... hasn't been a whole lot of movement on that, because we just provided that. So we updated the outreach and overall technology initiatives. And so I'll go through the outreach initiatives. So the website improvements, we talked about the stats there, reporting stats, staying on top of that, but we just went over that whole thing. The next edit is under the streamlining of regular board meetings, streaming, I'm sorry, of regular board meetings. So we'd made a lot of progress before of researching these items, and that's something, and then our district secretary left on medical leave, and we knew that was going to sit for a bit. So after Amelia, there's a lot more now that Amelia's full staff, permanent staff. And they seem like, well, what should she be doing different than before? But there were certain levels of confidentiality, mm-hmm. and other responsibilities that were not in her
right
purview at that, you know, up to now. So now we've started to release even more that's adding to her plate. So we want to get her legs underneath her, and then we're going to come back and start looking at the streaming of the board meetings and the technologies and all that. And if I recall, even though the second system that we looked at that looked like a better option, there was some hiccup in it that had occurred as far as our understanding of costs or technology or something like that. So what we might want to do is, it's been about a year since it was really looked at seriously, is kind of restart that effort and look at what are the costs as of today, what are the technology, because technology changes so rapidly. And maybe we tie that into, you know, we've got this outdated microphone system and the cabinet and all that. Maybe we tie the video recording with our mic recording. And
right.
We can look at it as one unit, basically. All right. Then the other changes that we have are just under 12 and 13. And the magnetic signs, we talked about the issue with the limited panel space on trucks, given the designs, you know, they have these real funky designs. There aren't large swaths of area, and also the aluminum construction on newer trucks. This isn't really for new discussion. We've already resolved this. Mm-hmm. We've had this discussion. We're looking into other options. It's just, this is just a document that this discussion was had. Add that to the discussion. Then the other item added there was coordination with Army and outreach to related to major community events. And so within the security packet, right, is that where we place the, was it in this packet?
It's in this packet.
Okay.
In this
one. Yeah, we have the calendar of annual events that we've provided. And that is, first of all, to know what we want to coordinate on, we have to identify what we want to coordinate on as far as the annual community events. So there is, within this packet, there's an item that's the RMCFP Community Annual Events Calendar. And so Chief Goldwyn has put this together and just put on our radar when there's various events.
Here it is.
From our perspective.
Okay.
And this will be provided to the GM at RMA. And we did have the discussion yesterday. We had our monthly lunch was delayed for a number of reasons. To yesterday, and we did meet and we did discuss this, and so this will be provided to them as an update, and then asking them to provide information to us if there's anything that they would see that needs to be added to this, and how it may impact security and outreach and such. One recommendation from yesterday was to make sure that if we're going to advertise FastPass and other things like that, just about 2 weeks ahead of time, start to advertise. Mm-hmm. We've created, Jeff has bids for signage for banners to remind people of FastPass.
Right.
And such, so that'll be implemented shortly. And so we had some discussions on that. But you'll see here, it's, you know, a lot of the major holidays that have been, that have impacted traffic. And then you have a few, you know, the concerts are really more of a, it's not
it's
so much
internal.
Traffic, but it's internal, and you may have issues related to that, but mass events. And then if there's something that, the country club's events are not as steady or not as regular. You know, it's usually they'll come up with an idea and all of a sudden there's an event, but it's not something you can necessarily calendarize every year until they come up with the idea and know the data.
And the only thing really of major significance there is, and I don't even know what they do or don't do anymore, is tournaments, outside play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything that they're doing socially inside is pretty much geared to people that live here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, would it help us to write a letter to Stan Van Vleck next door? And just say, in light of the last thing that happened to us, is there, would you please remember that we must be notified if you're having some mud run or and I would send it to the horse people too. I would send it to Carol Anderson, whoever runs the place for her.
Well, the conversation I had with Stan after the mud run is it may not, that this may have been the last year.
Yeah.
In summary, I had a nice detailed conversation with him about the errors and the developer.
Right.
The developer under the contract with Stan is required to do that with us, to meet and notify, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And they dropped the ball on several other issues. So Stan was not happy, and the decision hasn't been made yet.
Yeah, the first time he did
said it may, that may have been the last year.
Yeah, the first time he did it.
Hold their water permit for next year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then he's going to tell you that you're not spraying any more water on his joint. Then, then you've got a bigger problem. Maybe there's a trigger in there, you know, and maybe there won't be, because I know the first time he in the newspaper put a public apology in the newspaper. That's how bad it was, and then it happened again. So maybe he's done with it. But if he's not, maybe you could talk to him about a trigger that we have to give that developer a piece of paper that says we acknowledge that you're having this event, and he won't do anything until he physically sees that.
Yeah, this is kind of where this has to be, in my opinion, governed is through the county's permitting process.
Yeah, but
they get an event permit.
Yeah.
So that's the jurisdictional body that has. This is an outside the district event.
Right, and yeah, it
we
is.
We do not govern Stan's property.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We it, don't. It, it's it, not within.
No, the I know he's not within the district, and he never has been.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to, and you know, when you tell me, well, it's a county permitting process. Well,
okay. Well,
you're better off. Stan, please give us a call. You've got a better chance of getting notified.
He's under that. Stan is aware of that. Stan had the discussion,
and he
with Jeff
agreed. I want to ask for 30 day notice. I did pull an old use permit from the year, I think it was the year before, I couldn't find this year's.
Yeah.
It's in the permit. They're supposed to notify any agencies that might be impacted.
So this
again,
is
it's
where
back on the promoter.
The people that fell down on this 100% was the county events permitting organization. They had an obligation to notice stakeholders in the area, and they didn't. Mm-hmm.
They put it back on the promoter in the permit. And the promoter obviously didn't do it.
So the county physically told you that?
No,
I found one of the old use permits from a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And it says, must notify neighboring agencies or entities that may be impacted by the event. They were required to hire a highway patrol for traffic enforcement, those type of traffic control measures. So I don't see why that same language wouldn't have been in this year's permit. Since that was in the previous use permit.
Mm-hmm.
So that just reinforces what Stan told me on the phone, is the promoter didn't hold up their end of what they were required to do, not only with the use permit, but the contract with Stan. That's kind of what we're
so,
I mean, it's the promoter.
So my thoughts are that this is not just relevant as far as Stan is concerned and, you know, what he does or doesn't do. It's a process, again. I think so many things go back to having a process. There is a process. It's written up. And I think that for the whole district, anytime anybody's planning on doing anything, they need to follow the process. And if we...
And we only have authority over those that are within our district.
Right, right.
And so I think sometimes that line gets blurred. So what we can do is encourage the county, when there's something that's outside our district that impacts us, to make sure
that
they follow
need to
the
let
proper
us know.
Process.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I can give, and it's not an excuse, but I can tell you, having been in a department that used to process things like this, what happens is a junior planner gets assigned. The senior planners are slammed working on their own projects. That person doesn't get trained properly, and that person doesn't know all the dynamics of this community. They're in downtown Sacramento, and they forget to notice the proper people.
Yeah.
So my intent through the discussions with the county is to
on this is for anything that impacts this community, around this community, mm-hmm. please inform us, please inform RMA. I've asked Denise to send that same message to the county. Because they've fallen off in a number of areas where they haven't mm-hmm. been noticing no, us on they, a number of yeah, things they traditionally did in the past. So
the thing that I keep wanting to go back to is that the importance of getting this calendar together, or the idea behind getting the calendar together, is so that, you know, as a community, we can ask for notification, we can, you know, put things out there and expect to, you know, I don't care how we do it, you know, in the letter, in the pipeline, wherever, you know, expect as these events come up that we will re-notify people and say, you know, you're having an event, has this, this, and this happened, you know. Just trying to sort of zero in on, there's really only a few main ones that we need to concern ourselves with, but zeroing in on knowing when they're happening and what process they have to go through to make it happen.
Yeah. So in the outreach on Summerfest, you know, mm-hmm. that's something that mm-hmm. it's always last minute.
Right.
There's finger pointing by the coordinators of that of, well, why didn't you have our sheriff reserved for our private event behind our gates? Mm-hmm. And literally, this has gone on both years I've been here.
Oh, that's my gosh.
It's a little ridiculous. That's one of their, that should be on their checklist of, we're running an event. It's something that, and yes, we can go out to the sheriff and do that. But and so we've taken initiative and reminded them every year, but at some point, we need to hold those entities mm-hmm. accountable for their mm-hmm. responsibilities, and we will.
The horse people are better, are they not? Do you get?
I usually get a notice, like Shady will send me a message and say, you know, just remember we're having the expo coming up in a week or two.
Right.
But I mean, that's how they give notice.
And you see me
reminding us that it's coming up, and they always have banners out.
Yeah, they do, and they like for the Mercedes event, they had a rather sophisticated system in place. So I just wondering if, in general, I mean, they have more and more events that are more and more impactful now. They didn't used to be as large as they are.
No, they're looking at their calendar the other day. They've got something pretty much every weekend
yeah.
40, for the whole 40, year.
42 events. Is, yeah. I believe.
Which
42
includes
weekends.
Some dog shows and some other things. Not all horse events, but they've got stuff going.
So we will reach out to them, mm-hmm. you know, because it has expanded. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, please keep reminder to keep us
right.
informed that if you have, you know, the larger events that are going to significantly impact the community, let us know, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they did that last one. They had a good, they had a whole traffic plan in place, and I mean, they did a good job.
Yeah, the Mercedes one they had an exceptional one. I mean, it was well handled. So, okay.
This is a good starting point.
This is great. I just, I'm so happy with this. I'm absolutely delighted. Yeah, this is really great. And the fact that we have an opportunity to talk about this stuff every month is just really terrific.
And it's a great tool for us, and I appreciate the spurning to, you know, the encouragement to produce it. You know, Jeff was commenting to me this morning, it was like looking back at the last 2 years of what's been done, you know, mm-hmm. In all these areas is, wow, you know,
yeah.
It's been a lot.
How do we
were
make
a
this
lot
happen?
Different 2 years mm-hmm. ago, so mm-hmm. I'm very happy to have made all this progress.
This is, I'm thrilled.
There'll be more.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to go through the next
I was going to say, how do you want to do these? Yeah.
Well, then there's, on the technology side, there, you know, a lot of things have been implemented. I think it's the last page.
It's all the way to the last page before we get to red.
The edits, and this is the way we'll try to reflect the edits, so you don't have to go diving and trying to figure out what's changed. The customer management system, so we talked about that, and a lot of it had to do with, what database? Where are we going to track updates to either cell phone numbers or email addresses that people have? What's the best system to do that? We talked about our utility billing is really the best because every parcel mm-hmm. in the entire district, there's some type of contact information.
Right. Somewhere, I guess.
And so our plan is to implement an online capability where the
where the customer can go in and keep their information up to date on a regular basis, and then we'll conduct campaigns to remind people to update their information and such. That is another technology project right now. We've implemented a ton of stuff in the last 6 months, and we need to do some catch-up. Mm-hmm. We realize this is an important project, but right now, you know, we're encountering, as you do with every new implementation, on whether it's paychecks or some of these other integrations that we're working on, there's more work to it than you would have been expected on face value. So we're just, given the staff that we have, we're trying to do some catch up on some of those other initiatives, and then we're going to implement starting.
Right. I would think that a little bit of breathing room. Payroll and personnel would be a priority over the customer management.
But we're getting there, and we've already identified the tools. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger to implement it and having the staff time to make sure that's done well and able to troubleshoot it properly and all that. Because if you have too many initiatives going at the same time, a lot of things can fall apart. We want to be careful with that. The 28 is the paychecks, payroll, and time accounting. Like I said, that thing's wonderful. I have a dashboard that's as an administrator and then also as a employee, and I can bring it up on my cell phone right now if I want to. I can see my paycheck.
I looked this morning online.
The W-2s are posted automatically to all staff. I mean, it's completely self-serve. They're helping with onboarding. Now there's online onboarding, and so we're having various staff. Amelia will be one who will go through it and provide feedback as to if we need to improve it. We've moved our flexible spending account. Flexible spending, like for child care and medical expenses and things like that. That service is under paychecks now. We only had one or two people even under the older system utilizing it. So now we expect to be able to utilize it much more because it's an easier to use system. It's much more straightforward than the old system that we had. And so that's now, even though I signed up, I did it for the medical, and I signed up online, did it all myself. I did not have to tap any staff people here to complete that sign up and monitor it. They even keep track in the same dashboard. I can go to my flex spending, see where that is. I can see how many hours of leave that I have accumulated for different types of leave. It's really nice to have. So the only thing we're working on right now is the time carding. And having been involved in that process for very detailed agencies before, with a lot of different categories to time track to and different ways to poke at how do you track certain types of time, I knew it was going to be complex, and we've encountered that. So there's a little bit more programming that has to be done and business logic that has to be input into the system to make it work.
Yeah.
So we're working on that right now, working through that.
Would you just make a note for the next finance meeting? There's the front end of that paycheck system, too, that applies to the reporting and payment of the government obligations that we have as a result of payroll. I don't even know what they are here, other than I know we're paying federal. I don't know. We don't pay Social Security.
We don't pay Social Security.
We pay state.
There's disability.
And disability and DIS, yeah. So I just want to know, you know, they have mechanics in there that I used, and I just want to see what those are and if those have made changes to the way we were doing that reporting prior to switching over to paychecks. I'm just curious to see. I mean, one of the benefits of using it from a small business owner was always that if it got screwed up, it was paychecks that were liable and not you. Mm-hmm. And it's like property taxes. The fees are gargantuan. Mm-hmm. 24-hour penalty is the same as a 30-day penalty. They're the same. So you can't miss. And I was just curious. Well, I'll go. That's all I need.
And that's an absolute benefit of going to paychecks because there's experts. They do this for thousands of different entities. They know the rules inside and out better than any single staff person here that has a lot of other responsibilities outside of payroll would be able to stay on top of it. I mean, it just makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Right. And their reporting was, you know, as part of that, hitting whatever that date was when you had to make those payments, and you usually had to make them bi-monthly.
Yeah.
I mean, they were physically sending you a message that this is what you had due, you know, and this is when it's due. And I'm sure we're. I just want to.
Okay, I'll have that, and we'll report
Tom
back how
Cindy,
we're.
Tom and Cindy, just go through that part of it, just to understand what it is we're doing now versus what we were doing.
Okay.
just want to make a comment, Mark, on the onboarding process. I have two new hires. One for the gate was the first employee we put through the check system. What normally would take from a medical exam to fingerprints to getting other paperwork done, coming in for an orientation meeting, that was at least a 2-week process because it was all done manually by the county supervisor / HR, just getting a point, all that. I had this employee took their medical on Wednesday, fingerprints Thursday. I called him Friday, said be prepared to start Monday morning. He did his onboarding paperwork online through Paychex over the weekend, and he was here Monday morning working. Mm-hmm. So cool. 4 or 5 days as opposed to, you know, a good 2 weeks. And then Amelia just went through it herself. Mm-hmm. So
Good. I'll do the online portion this afternoon. I'm planning on it being easy. I plan on everything being easy now.
So you know, been a good thing here. We have the laptops. I just added the laptops there just to show that, you know, we're trying to stay on top of that. I think we still need to get cases. They're bags.
Oh. For let me put that back on the table.
They're different size bags, so that's something. And I put that there just as a reminder to us to follow through on that.
Yeah, I forgot.
They're nice. I like them. Like
it.
Yeah. I do.
Easier than that little teeny tiny one.
Well, the screen size makes a huge difference for those of us who are senior citizens. But
the width should be helpful, too, because mm-hmm. you should now be able to have the gutter on the left that has the items and be able to look at the item that you're clicking on all in one view instead of having to switch back and forth.
Right.
So, which I think
and I printed from it this morning, so that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Some little things in life, you know.
Nothing more frustrating.
So, you know, going forward, just discussion on, you know, technology initiatives and all that, we're pretty far down the path of having implemented a lot of these initiatives. We do have, maybe on the security side, we've looked at the, and that'll be discussed at the security meeting, looking at the capacity of the servers, the hard drives for the camera storage, the length of camera storage. That could be a technology improvement, so we'll be adding to this over time. And some of the things as far as securing this building properly as the administrative building, we've talked about the alarm systems that we have here, we've talked about for the building alarm, we already have the cameras, and then also possibly a key card system or something for access to various offices and areas of the building. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at night we have staff that are security that come into the building just as a door check and that sort of thing, but we may not want them in the GM's office or the chief's office or whatever. And we had instances in the past where, you know, I arrived at work one morning and discovered that a patrol officer is no longer with us, and it wasn't for this reason, but, you know, had been in my office and had left something on my desktop. Well,
stuff
that's the kind of access to confidential information that they just shouldn't have. So we're going to investigate that type of system. So
we're live with all computer-based dispatching now.
Okay.
That system's up and running.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you're... If your goal is at some point in time is taping meetings, just I want you to consider not the equipment or anything that RMA uses, but I would like to have the ability as we do that to where somebody comes to the podium, we can physically focus on them. In other words, a router, you know, so we can have 2 or 3 cameras that. So the person speaking we can see, or the, and I understand somebody has to manipulate that, but it's what happens when you don't have that is it's just kind of like you're watching some kind of echo, you know, you're hearing this voice coming from somewhere. So an RMA does that, or they used to when they did it. They used to be able to redirect, but they also have a body in the back that does that.
Yeah,
But
we're going to see what capabilities are.
Yeah, I'd like to at least explore, you know, something that isn't so cheesy.
That, okay.
You know, in terms of...
We could record and split screen. You could even find an intern or a high school kid that's in AV class to come run it for our meetings.
I'm going to look for a technology solution for that ahead of trying to dedicate a staff person to it.
Right.
It's just that long term.
Free.
I mean, when you watch a county board of supervisors meeting, I mean, they're miles ahead of us in terms of technology that they're using.
Yeah, they have a dedicated staff person. Scranton has, they have a board, they have, or actually a room dedicated just to that.
Yeah, and they have an amphitheater.
And my son does that for Lodi.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Who does that exactly.
They have an amphitheater downtown.
Yeah.
And it's like going to the movies. I mean, it's... Of course, we're paying for it, so there's no problem getting money.
So we'll see what we can do to leverage that from a technology standpoint.
Yeah.
I do know that the last software we looked at, which was very robust, most still only had one fixed camera, and that was it. But we can, and things improve all the time, so there's no reason to not look into that. Look for that capability. And then I thought...
We kind of talked about 5 already, didn't we?
Yes.
We talked about 5 already. If I'm ready to move forward.
Okay. I have to find 5 again.
Yes.
Oh, here it is. Here.
Okay.
Developer communications to community.
Yeah.
That's from me.
Yeah.
And then you'll find after the spreadsheets, Linda's prepared a little pack of parts, and it's attached after the spreadsheet.
So I lay awake at night thinking about some of these things, but one of the things that has been of interest to me right from the beginning, and I remember at one of the first meetings with the first developer, John Sullivan and his group. We have a second developer now, right?
Possibly Riverview, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, at Riverview. What about the residences?
Yeah, he has yet to submit a formal application, but yes. I mean, that's...
Okay, so you know,
until someone has submitted a formal application, that's not a project.
No, it's noise.
It's noise.
Yeah.
It's really not something that I would see us conducting outreach on.
Okay.
Because they really need to submit a formal application.
Okay.
For us to
that answers one question. anyway, whether it's 1 or 20, I remember asking in the beginning, you know, are we done with this yet? I asked you, Paul, in relation to some one of the projects that was going on across the street, you know. it was quite, what would you say? It was quite, I was naive to think that we were ever going to be done with any of this stuff. But I'm curious about what structure there is, if any, to work with these developers to give us information, plans. We finished this, and now we want to move on to this. And notification to the directors, but going through, you know, general management staff and everything like that. And Paul gives us that, which I attached a couple of them. he gives us in the utilities report, you know, what's going on with each of the developments. But the part that's confusing or interesting to me, and beyond interesting, concerning, is that when something is being done, it's really hard to get a feel for what it's connected to or how it's... And I don't expect that you would, you know, have to do that. But and I use this as an example. The Rancho, this was on, it's attached to the thing. Down at the bottom it says it's a packet for August 2019, the utilities report. And it says, Rancho Murrieta North development project, a deposit for review has been received by the developer to support district review. It has been requested that the review begin with a drainage system design first. Sac County also needs to review this project. Coastline has recommended the county first provide blah, blah, blah. So, and then, you know, nothing happens. And then I see Rancho Murrieta North development, Coastline reports they have completed their review and the whole thing about the drainage. And, you know, there were several months that went on in between there. I can't get my head around how this process works. You know, where does the community have or get information besides this, you know, to know what's going on? I mean, there at least once a day somebody says, what's happening over at the, you know, the Bel Air thing, or and now that it's being built out, fewer people are asking about it. They don't know it's going to open, but consistently, you know, it's like we're here and then we're here, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like I have like a sense of how that all works, and I don't know if we can get more information from the developers or not, but
let Paul speak to kind of the technical stuff that he can speak to, and then I'll speak to the development portion of it, and procedurally and protocol. I've had those discussions with I think John and I have discussed it. I've discussed it with the local media, and I've discussed it with RMA's general manager yesterday.
Good.
And there is a protocol to it, and there's a reason for it. Okay. And in fact, Gail from River Valley had confirmed that protocol with the county too. So everything I conveyed as what is proper protocol, whether you like it or not, is the proper process.
Okay. Right.
And she confirmed it with me this morning, early this morning, that she had communicated with the county and what I had provided her on, basically, as to the practice that's followed. And there's a reason to it, and I'll explain that.
So we've tried to clean this up recently. So in the past, it would be a development, no matter whatever the project is.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants to connect to water, sewer, drainage systems, per our code, they had to reach out to the district and request what is referred to as a facilities extension agreement to tie into our facilities, basically extend into our facilities. And so the district had that as kind of its process. And there was nothing really written. There wasn't anything written down as, you know, where's the cart and the horse with this process. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any. So we worked with Coastland Engineering to develop a developer application packet that if they wanted to proceed on a project, here's the packet, you fill out A, B, C, you also give us a deposit, and part of filling out A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, they had to give an estimate of what the facilities, the costs of those facilities would be in developing it, so that we would request an adequate deposit as a starting point for that project. And then to have funding available for it as you move forward, as Mark was alluding to with the residences project. You know, the guy's been pinging, you know, Mark quite a bit, you know, in the past, and myself once or twice, and he's like, he really needs to, you know, if you're serious about moving forward on it, he's gonna fill out the paperwork and move forward on it. The Riverview project has done that. They submitted a deposit and application. So that's a legitimate project moving forward. It's always been a legitimate project. It's been on the books with the county. But as it relates to community outreach and information and sharing with board members and other staff members, you know, I'm not aware of a formal process as it relates to that.
Sure,
just tried to be transparent.
I would say in between the monthly, things are so dynamic. They change from time to time. Even schedules, if, you know, Paul regularly presses for schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But even from a practical standpoint, having been in development for years, schedules change all the time.
Sure.
Just some sub can't come in at a certain time. Things change on such a regular basis that monthly is about the best pace of updates. If someone wants some progress in between those, I would say contact Paul and just ask him, hey, where's this sit right now?
Or even how it's connected. I mean, I think that the on the first one, wait a second, I'm gonna find it. Rancho Muriel North Development, about the money. A deposit for review has been received by the developer. and how that is actually connected to the second one, mm-hmm. which is the drainage.
So let me chime in there again.
Okay.
So there's some overlapping responsibilities between what the county is responsible for okay. and what the district's responsible for.
Okay.
We're a small agency. We don't have huge mm-hmm. staff. You know, they've got drainage
right.
staff that exceeds our entire staff multiple times over. And so we actually have a matrix that exists with the county of who's responsible for what.
Great.
You may recall a couple of years ago, we had to recertify the levees, and that's how I just mm-hmm. came to light that, oh, hey, we're responsible for levees out here. Didn't know that. And so we had discussions last spring between Coastland Engineering, myself, and the county engineers. Who's going to be responsible for what? Formalize that, send it back via an email, and just an annotation on the delineation of responsibilities. And that's where we communicated with the North developers. We're waiting on the county for them to move forward with this review for X, Y, and Z. And they're like, well, we want you guys to do it. And I'm like, well, you know, county needs to be doing it. Mm-hmm. They need a deposit. And so, and then there's communication.
So they need to do it with the county. The developer.
Certain things. They need to deposit in both places.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. And what, you know, the developer, rightfully so, had requested in the past is that there's not redundant, you know,
that you're asking
you know,
for the same
work
stuff.
That's going to yeah. be very expensive for them. You know, like, yeah, we understand that. That's why we want them to comment first, we comment second, or vice versa. And they're like, mm-hmm. no, we want your comments ahead of time. Okay, we've proceeded. And that's why the first iteration of comments has gone back to the Rancho North project.
And to the county.
And to the county. And the county, so the county also has now recently gotten a deposit. And so they're at some point going to be beginning their review process. So that's where that's at. And we still have yet to do water and sewer comments back to them.
So you say, you know, you don't want to. We could expand a little bit more in the updates as to where the project sits
yeah.
overall. I think that's kind of what you're looking for. As far as the timing of communications of what we produce, the county is the land use authority over this
mm-hmm,
project.
Mm-hmm.
And the way development works is when a project comes in, that project is referred out with the intent of whatever environmental's behind it and whatever planning entitlements are behind it. It's referred out, it should be, if done properly, referred out to all the appropriate bodies that need to comment and that are impacted by that plan, that project. And so we are one of the referred bodies, you know, referrals to us, basically. And we do oversee part of that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a city, they typically have a utilities department that
right.
covers the functions that we're commenting on. We're just that department, basically, for the not technically, but we're kind of that role for the county in certain areas. In that process, it is an administrative draft form that all the comments come back to the planner who consolidates all this information. And so when it's in an administrative draft form, and this is, I've had this confirmed by Dick Shanahan, the county confirmed that this is their practice, is what I had this morning. Documents that are in administrative draft form are not for public review at
okay.
that point. And there isn't any nefarious reason for that. It's a practical reason. Nothing's been decided. There's
yeah.
no actionable
Things
item.
Things change.
They
say.
Change on
mm-hmm.
a regular basis. I've seen projects change 5-6 different ways. I've seen names of major developments change 5-6 times, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called Crystal Bay. Now it's called whatever, glowing acres. So things change so rapidly, it would be completely unproductive to just constantly have this comment, public review, comment.
Right, right,
review.
Right.
So what happens is that's when the sausage is being made, at least into a form that there's some kind of decision or action to be taken. So our comments back to the county on this is an administrative draft. It's our comments back from our engineer and staff back to the county on these different systems
mm-hmm.
that are out there. The county then consolidates all those comments. They determine if they have any feedback back to us as the planning entity to say, hey, do you realize this conflicts with something over here? That's their job as a planner, to see the big picture, basically.
then once it's ready, at least in a form to go to environmental process.
That's my next question.
There's going to be a notice of preparation for an EIR,
NRP, right.
Which EIRs are for large projects. That notice of preparation is the point that comments can be made back to say, okay, you're preparing this. Did you consider this, 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 and this? That's when the first opportunity for the public to comment back as to, we want to make sure these issues are addressed by the environmental review.
And you're confused in this project because we've done it before. This is not the first application on this project. It's the second application.
But they still have to do all the environmental
right,
on this.
Right.
The NOP has to be finished, yeah. And then they go to the environmental.
There's going to be another comment period because mm-hmm. essentially they're releasing this entire application for the second time. It was released in 2014. It was released in 2017.
And right now, it's
none of the documents are there.
It's changed form, and so it's stale.
It's not as many lots. The whole thing. Plus, it was magnified. It was magnified, and the county is well aware of this. It was magnified by the total lack of communication. He has an obligation once his application is complete to apply to the CPAC and present that to CPAC. Okay. He did that way in advance of the county knowing it or approving it or telling him that he should be doing it on the first pass. And then he had two crap meetings, one of which we held and the other which they held over in the horse barn, where there was absolutely no opportunity for public input. So I can assure you that won't happen again.
The NOP, the environmental document, is really the first. That's the
right.
next step of the
Yeah,
process,
I know about the NOP and the EIR.
Where the public is able to really see, okay, now here's a more solidified project that we can comment on comprehensively. Because you have to see everything. Developers, you know, Paul hit the nail on the head. They want to see things serially. They want just one person to review it, respond, one person to review it. That's not a global look at the overall project.
No.
So what we saw on many development projects is oftentimes fire prevention would always be the last to give a comment on a structure of a building or something like that. That's horrible. Because
if they have
a new requirement, it may change the construction of the building, the actual architecture of the building. It may
change
water, mm-hmm. utility requirements to that structure. It screws everything up. So ideally, the way it should work is all comments come back comprehensively on one set of plans that are submitted. If there's a moderate to major revision, then everybody else gets another review shot again.
Mm-hmm.
Say, this is a significant revision. We're going to comment again. In this particular case, the county has said there's no other parts of the utilities is the only part that they've even come close to seeing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To get to this point, okay, the stepping off point is for them to complete the requirement for all of their technical studies, which to this point has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They haven't been at a point where you can do an NOP because they didn't even have all. And they still don't, because we haven't submitted we've only submitted drainage. We haven't even submitted water and sewer, have we? They don't even have those.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They've submitted them to us. We're in the process of review.
Right.
So,
drainage.
Mm-hmm. on the North Development Project, is that the whole project? Is it?
Whole project.
The whole project.
The whole project.
Wow.
His choice, which varied from the discussions that I had with him and I had with Durrett, was that they were going forward. It's an all or nothing with them. They're looking to approve villages A through H.
Or H.
Okay, whereas they in a lot of these ongoing projects, specifically on the Jackson Road, these guys have recognized that some of this stuff is better fended in doing it in stages,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because it's a lot easier to take a little piece of the apple and get
and
that approved.
More than likely, that may change.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on this, and I've been everywhere with this for months, and I'm still as frustrated as I've ever been because I don't see it. I don't see it as a communications issue per se, as much as it is a global community issue on this one particular instance. I don't see it in water, and I don't see it in sewer, but I do see it in drainage. So that's than my hang up with it.
So what I'm trying to do, and we've got 12 minutes before the next meeting occurs, just to, from an outreach standpoint, because some questions have come up in frustration about that. And I just try to convey it's nothing underhanded, it's how the process works, the reason for it. But there are many points at which the public can respond, and that's at the notice of preparation. It's once the EIR is out, the EIR is called a draft EIR at that point, but it really is the EIR document. And then there's responding to comments on the draft. Well, public comments on the NOP should be considered when preparing the actual EIR itself, this preparation. So if there's a point that's brought up that wasn't considered as part of the scope of the EIR, that scope should be expanded to respond to the comments made at the NOP stage.
Right.
Then the draft EIR is released. When the draft EIR is released, that's an opportunity for the public to comment on that and stakeholders as to concerns on the content of the EIR. The EIR has the technical documents behind the project itself, and it should be comprehensive. It has to have everything. They can't just bring utilities for it as its own EIR. It's got to be the whole project, traffic, everything. Then, at the once the draft EIR comment period closes, there'll be a number of comments back to the planning agency at that point. They have to take all those comments and respond to those comments. Response to comments is what it's called. And then, and they'll say, this is valid, this needs to be studied more, or whatever. But they also, there may be mitigation measures and other things that are being recommended. And then once all that is worked out, and sometimes there has to be a re-release of an EIR if something was completely missed, it's rare that that happens. And then once all of that is decided, then there's called a mitigation monitoring reporting program, which is, here's all the things that have to be met in response to this finalized environmental document. That's all ahead of, and you have to have all that to take to the Planning Commission is the step after that for Planning Commission approval, which is another opportunity for the public to comment and provide feedback, and then the Board of Supervisors at that point. So there's still a lot of opportunities for public comment out there.
There are also at this point anyway, until everybody figures out the rules, there are two CPAC reporting periods, one at the initiation of the project and one now, which it appears is going to be at the release of the EIR, as long as the state of California allows us to have two. That's up in the air, because we're supposed to have a total of five. Doesn't matter if it's 10,000 houses. A total of five in the entire world that you can have, because they need houses so badly they have to step up the process. That's exactly what they're saying.
So, and as far as just general updating, the public, that's something that the county typically on a project will recommend to a developer, just as a best practice.
Who will recommend
the county? The county planning should, and we just can't assume county planning's role. But the county planners, for larger projects, they typically, strongly insist that if you want to get this thing through, you got to do public outreach.
Right.
You have to keep communicating.
And he doesn't do that.
So really, but the that's in the political world. How much is the Board of Supervisors going to say, you know what, you didn't do any public outreach?
Actually, we have one that will say that.
If you have one,
we have two, actually.
Then that's something that could, where there could be some action, some concern brought up that way.
Yeah.
But typically, it's best practice, if you're out there and you have a major project, you communicate with the public. You make sure that you've shown that you've done your...
Yes, we know that there's a Bel Air.
So I have at least communicated to Cindy Moreno of the developer. We didn't have our development meeting this month because of the holidays and everything else. Just wasn't a lot of progress to discuss at that point. But did convey to them, can you guys improve just your outreach? Try to be a little bit better at communicating with the public. Mm-hmm. She did express some of the things that make it difficult at times, some on their side, the complexities of timing and disclosure agreements and other things like that, that would be items that they would have to pull back if it doesn't work out the way they're planning it to work out, which are practical. I understand that. I've seen that happen on the development side. So the points she made actually were very good points and understood. So, but the message has been
And one of the things that you hear constantly in the community that I understand completely from their standpoint is, well, who's going in the shopping center?
Yeah.
He absolutely cannot tell you that. If he doesn't have a signed lease, he can't.
He doesn't know.
He can't. No, he may know. He may have ongoing negotiations
that
with seven guys.
That could blow up.
Right.
Right.
So
exactly.
He's not going to give you that information,
and then
nor
having
should.
Having everyone expect it.
That's what I meant by
he
doesn't know.
Then they spend a lot of resources.
Right.
Reeling all that back.
Right.
I mean, pretty much the only sure thing he has to go in there now is the gas station, because that being what it was.
A grocery.
That's a separate
going.
Project.
Huh? There's a grocery. There's a grocery going.
It looks like.
But, there has been an extensive amount that has gone through the county on the gas station. I mean, we've had the gas station twice. Let's see.
That's a separately owned project.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. Goodness River Land.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So.
We also, from an outreach standpoint, are being very clear, trying to be more clear now that we have multiple developers to try to specify which one, because it could be unclear in the future what developer we're referring to if we have multiples out here at the same time.
There's a handful now.
Yeah, so we're going to try to be more better at that.
That's great.
Right.
My one thing that I always think about with this particular developer is how much he expects from CSD, and the amount of time and energy that this organization is spending taking care of him. I mean, we have other things in this community to take care of. And so I was interested in this subject because I was hoping that there was some way that some of that burden could be taken off of the RMCSD.
We have just a deposit from him on drainage. In other words, we have the whole amount?
We have a deposit on hand for the North project.
Okay. So, but where I'm going with this on drainage is, do we have, obviously with your comments that I reviewed and everything else, and it's obviously going to be a much more extensive. We have a lot more work to do there.
Shut down the meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, are we going to
direct
adjourn?
Comments, right?
Oh, direct comments.
Is this relevant to communication?
Yeah, it is relevant to communication.
Okay, thank you for changing for me.
I just want to make sure.
I have on the 16th of the month a meeting with the Department of Transportation at Sacramento County and the Planning Department to set up an agenda for a community-wide meeting on the potential mitigation for Rancho Murrieta as a result of the development that's going on along the Jackson Highway.
Okay, and how is that relevant to the district?
Well, you might want to go.
No, I'm trying to, no.
How's that relevant
again,
to what? Well,
again,
he
I'm trying to
go.
Say the focus of the district and the focus of this committee of
communication.
We could say global communications is the focus. Okay. So let's. I'm trying to keep us like if we're going to have
a
discussion, it's
got
to be.
No, I get it.
You know, even the traffic impacts of, and I appreciate. I love this stuff. I mean, I'm a wonk on this stuff, but we
maybe not at this.
We have these discussions at the meetings. Where they need to focus on what our water, sewer, drainage, security, and solid waste.
I thought they related to traffic in that.
But traffic is very. It has a little bit of responsibility, but the traffic that's an Army responsibility. Mm. It's has a little bit to do with security.
Okay.
A little bit. So that's all I'm asking.
That's fine.
When I ask that question, I'm asking to tie it back to what one of our primary functions is, and please be clear.
On
that side of things.
Okay. I get it. We're done.
Okay.
I hope I was delicate enough. I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine. No, I just need to know where we're going with this.
Yeah.
Now I do. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.